Hello there, we're in the World House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's a privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Come on, anybody ready this morning? All right, let's jump on our feet quickly. Let's do this together. Job 36 and 11. Job 36, verse 11. Everybody shout, more money. Let's do now two go. If they obey and they serve Him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. 3 John 1, verse 2. 3 John 1, verse 2. It says, Beloved. Now, let's read together two go. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. The first scripture we read said, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Can I prophesy to somebody? I declare over your life that for the rest of your days, you will spend in prosperity. Amen. And for every year that passes, you will spend in pleasure. Amen. Now, let me tell you the implication of that. Prosperity was already taken off by the first part. When it says you will spend your day in pleasure, it means no sickness. It means no armed robbery attack. It means no breakdown, no diagnosis of cancer. It means you will spend the rest of your day in pleasure. You'll be happy. That money you have made in prosperity, you will enjoy it. And you'll be alive to enjoy it. I prophesy over you, that will be your portion in the name of Jesus. And the next scripture we read said, I wish above all things for three things. Number one, you prosper. Number two, you'll be in health. Number three, your soul will prosper. It's from that scripture they got that saying, healthy, wealthy, and wise. It covers the three areas of your life. Number one, I wish above all things that you prosper, wealthy, and be in health, healthy. And number three, that your soul prospers. So can I prophesy to you, you'll be healthy, you'll be wealthy, and you'll be wise. I cannot hear your amen. I said you'll be healthy, you will be wealthy, and you shall be wise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless your word, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Shout a better amen, somebody. Amen. Very quickly, please be seated like the king that you are. I'm going to start this morning by sharing with you three important facts about more money. Why we need to talk about money. You know, gentlemen, there are three discussions that church people don't like to have. One of them is money. They feel that we shouldn't talk about money. The reason is because a lot of church people actually believe that when we talk about money, you know, church will be talking about going to heaven and so on and so forth. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, are you still in church, somebody? They feel that we shouldn't talk about money. The other thing church people say we shouldn't talk about is about sex. Somebody say sex. But the bad news is that everybody here is thinking about sex. The bad news, okay, that's not my slide, please. You're on the wrong slide. Totally wrong slide, please. So please get the right slide. I don't know whether you send the slide. That's not the slide. That's not my slide at all. Absolutely not at all. Please. All right? So, now gentlemen, please listen to this. The bad news is that everybody needs money. Everybody needs money. And everybody needs sex. Is anybody hearing me? Why? Because they are essentials that God created for the advancement of humanity. And so it's something we should all talk about. We should all talk about. Is anybody hearing me? And the church should not shy from talking about it, because if we do, the world will give us their own version, their narrative of it. And usually their narrative oftentimes will contradict the things that we believe in. Are you still with me, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still with me, somebody? So when you hear people say, we don't like prosperity preachers, should we become poverty preachers? Will you prefer that? Please answer me. Should we become poverty preachers? Okay, God doesn't want you to have money. All of us will just be wearing one shirt and one trousers. You know what I'm talking about? We all trek to church or come in kake. Is that what you want? Okay, so guys, I'm not ashamed to say I'm a prosperity preacher. And guess what? You are a prosperity receiver. Yeah. I prophesy to you, you are a prosperity. You want to be a poverty receiver? No. You are a prosperity receiver in Jesus' name. Yeah. Say a better amen, somebody. Yeah. For the last time, say a good amen. Yeah. All right, so number one fact about money is that money always matters when it matters most. Say after me, money always matters when it matters most. My God, say money always matters when it matters most. Say it again for the last time. Money always matters when it matters most. Ladies and gentlemen, Please understand. Ecclesiastes 10:19 is what scripture that told us. It says, a feast is made for laughter. Ecclesiastes 10:19. It says, wine makes merry. It says, but money answers all things. Money answers all things. Money, say after me, money answers all things. It doesn't solve all problems. Please don't mistake the two of them. But it does answer. You know, if you are shouting and say, I'm dying, you know, I can answer you. It's not guaranteed that when I get there, I can save you. Okay? If money could save all things, no rich man would die. You know what I'm talking about? But at least it will answer. At least it will take them to the best hospital. At least it will consult the best doctors. Somebody answer me, true or false. So money answers all things, but may not necessarily solve all problems. Ladies and gentlemen, please understand that money is so important that poverty drastically limits your options in life. How many of you know that? Poverty limits your option in life. That's why no rich man's child writes jam more than 3 times. In fact, no rich man's child writes jam 2 times. After the first time they travel abroad, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, yes. And by the way, I hope you know that thing called jam is a scam by a section of this country to make sure that you don't go to school more than them. There's nowhere in the world where they do jam. That's why Nigerian economy donates $3 billion to Ghana every year on school fees. $3 billion from Nigerian students going to Ghana where there's no jam. Jam was a scheme put by a section of Nigerian society, a part of this country, to make sure that as you are going to school, they bring you down and say, no, it's called quota system. By quota system, your daughter scored 280 and is denied admission. Their child scored 8. And gets admission on the same course in the same university. It's a scam. That's why there's nowhere in the world where they practice jamb. Not abroad, not in Africa. Okay, some of you are knowing for the first time. It's a scam. By God's grace, a generation is coming that will scrap that nonsense. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Say a loud amen, somebody. When a rich man's child faces jamb once, they relocate to UK. And they school in Oxford. You know what I'm talking about? That would be your testimony in the name of Jesus. Say a better amen, somebody. Yeah. Poverty reduces your ability for meaningful contribution in life. How many of you know that? Yes. That's why when a poor man is in church and they say, let us give offering, he goes to the toilet, true or false? You're laughing because you have done it before. Ecclesiastes 9:14. It says there was a little city. And it says few men were in the city. They said there was a war against the city. And guess what? Verse 15 says, but that war against the city was a terrible war. And there was found in that city a poor, wise man. He was wise, but he was poor. And his wisdom saved the city. Yet, gentlemen, no one remembered that man because he was a poor man. Verse 16, I say therefore unto you, based on my experience, that a poor man saved the city. Because of his wisdom, but because he was poor, nobody remembered him. And he said, therefore, this is my advice, verse 16. Wisdom is better than might, although the poor man's wisdom will never be regarded, will be despised, his words will never be heard. How many of you are aware that when your family is doing a meeting, until your rich brother talks, the meeting is not concluded? Remember, your rich brother is not in Nigeria. They say, okay, let Okechukwu first of all call. We have all spoken. We have had everybody. But after Okechukwu has called, we can take a decision. You will be Okechukwu in your family in the name of Jesus. And number Koshia, I said you will be Okechukwu in your family in the mighty name of Jesus. I prophesy over you, without you, no meeting is concluded in your family. Because of ego, because of this stuff, because of the heavy duty you carry, because of how God has blessed you, I declare that no meeting is concluded even in your village until you're imputed in the name of Jesus. Can you say better amen, somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, it will reduce your ability to make meaningful contribution. When they are making contribution, everybody's raising their hand and a poor man say, bring it down, we're coming, we'll get back to you. You know what I'm talking about? Now, the rich man is not there. They say, let us call him on phone. The man who is physically with them is raising his hand. They say, wait. It will never be your portion in the name of Jesus. I can't hear your amen. Poverty increases your destiny frustration and opens doors to manipulation. Poverty, nothing frustrates you like poverty, gentlemen. Number 5, poverty opens doors to major temptations in life. Major temptations in life. Ladies and gentlemen, Have you watched families where there was somebody was sick and needed to be taken abroad or sent to a specialist hospital and they are looking for money and everybody in this family is watching until the person dies? Have you seen that happen before? Poverty is bad. One of my closest sisters in school back in the day married a missionary many years ago. This happened many years ago. And I was in touch with them because when they got married, I was there. And then the guy she got married to was my friend. And eventually, one day they called me and said they just lost their son, their first son. And I said, what happened? They said the boy was sick. Now, both of them were missionaries in Tafawa, Balewa, local government area in Borno State. Is it Borno State now? Bauchi State, thank you. Bauchi State. Tafawa, Balewa, local government, Bauchi State. And guess what? Their child was sick, needed to be taken to the hospital. The hospital said deposit 5,000 naira. They didn't have it. And the boy died. That's the day I won't be a missionary. Now, am I saying being a missionary is bad? There are missionaries who have private jets. It's not a bad thing. But guess what? I was so touched by that incident. And I said, no, this is not the kind of life I want to live. But even if I want to be a missionary, I want to be a missionary that can make money. I'll make money and I won't have to lose my child because of 5,000 naira. Is anybody hearing me? Please talk to me. Are you hearing me? It was poverty that will make Agar to keep her child crying about to die and look away. Because she can't stand the child die. Because she had no options until God intervened. It will never be your portion in the name of Jesus. In this city, we lost one of the greatest musicians. One of the greatest of all time. Needed a kidney transplant. And people could not gather the money together. Family could not gather the money together. And that man died. Right in the face of poverty. I want to prophesy over somebody. You will never run out of options. I said, in the face of need in your family, may God always empower you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Gentlemen, look up here. Look up here. One of the saddest experiences I've had, or stories I've had many, many years ago, was a story of a Christian sister, beautiful woman, married with children, but the boss just had his eyes on her and said, I want to sleep with you. I'll promote you. I will give you money. I want to sleep with you. I will promote you. I will give you money. And she said, God forbid, I'm a child of God. Until her husband was sick. And the doctor said, if you don't raise this 3 million, by XYZ time, he's going to die. She was watching the husband dying. The husband was watching her going. The boss was saying, I will give you the money. Just come around. And one day, it was the husband who said to her, you know what? Even God understands. Go sleep with him. And she actually is, I'm talking of a woman who is like a deaconess in church. She finally went, slept with him, got the money, and came back. But the husband still died. You know, poverty is bad. It's bad. I want to prophesy over you, you will never, ever be in that situation in your life where you have no options in the mighty name of Jesus. I can't hear your amen this morning. Are you aware that poverty can even reduce the vision of a church to be able to accomplish what God has called her to do? Are you aware of that? Poverty can frustrate every evangelistic effort. Listen to this. Evangelism is expensive. It's expensive. We had just a little outing yesterday. I don't want to tell you how much it costs. This week, we may be having like 3 this week. I don't want to tell you. How many of you know that to plant one church runs into tens of millions? Last year, I announced we're going to open 3 branches, 2 of us. You have never asked me why we have not opened the branches. You were all excited when I announced it. And there's only one reason we have not opened them. Somebody say more money. I can't hear you say more money. Shout it, more money! That's why when David was speaking about prosperity, he calls it a righteous cause. He said, listen, the subject matter of money is a righteous thing because poverty kills righteousness. I've seen holy men who had to lie. Have you seen good Christians who, when the landlord finally came knocking on the door, they told their son, tell landlord, I'm not at home. It's not because they are bad. It's because of situation. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I've seen holy men lie because they didn't have money. Because there was a situation that they needed to lie about. But that will never be you in the mighty name of Jesus. What did David say? Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Psalm 35, 27. 35. David calls it a righteous cause. He says, let them say continually, what's the righteous cause? Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in what? In the prosperity. Put your name there, of Pastor Edwin. I declare God has pleasure in your prosperity. Therefore, you will prosper in the name of Jesus. I said, God has pleasure in your prosperity. Therefore, you will prosper in the name of Jesus. Say a better amen now. The second thing I want to say about money, or more money, is that everyone with a capacity to think has the capacity for wealth. If you have the capacity, just the ability to be able to think, if you have the capacity for a thought, then trust me, you have capacity to make money. Is anybody hearing me? The first seed of wealth is not money. The first seed of wealth is an idea. That's why they say in the business world, ideas rule the world. Is anybody hearing me? One idea God puts in your heart, sir, in 6 months, can take you from this point to become the most sought after man in Nigeria. And I prophesy to you, ideas are coming to you. Ideas that rule the world. Ideas that change destiny. Ideas that turn life around. I said they are coming to you in the mighty name of Jesus. It was Javi Firestone. It was the guy who came up with the Firestone tire. It was the one that said, a thought, not money, is the real business capital. A thought, not money, is the real business capital. Gentlemen, please understand this. How did pure water begin? Everybody in Nigeria was drinking sachet water. And nobody could afford, few people could afford what they call bottled water. Somebody look at it, ice water, bottled water. There's a gap in between the two of them. The rich afford bottled water. The poor are doing pure water. And the guy said, what if we put something in between? This pure water, this ice water, is ice water, which is tied in nylon. You all know what I'm talking about. Why don't we come in between and put something that looks decent enough for both the rich to drink and also the poor to drink? They came up with pure water. And ladies and gentlemen, the rest is history. Even as you are now, if you open a pure water company, with all the water for them back and selling in Enugu, you will still be a millionaire. Is anybody hearing me? Please talk to me. Is anybody hearing me? What am I trying to say? It's all about an idea, an idea, an idea. A lady was going for a party and she wore white trousers. And on the way to the party, by the time she got there, she was in a period. Once she came out of the car, somebody shouted, ah, get back inside your car. Say, you are stained. And the lady said, what is this? Well, how long will I continue like this? And she went back home crying. And while she was crying, an idea dropped in her. That idea is what they call the tampon. Everybody say tampon. Tampon is one of the women's sanitary towels today. That was the birth of tampon. It was an idea. She went back and sat and said, how do we create a padding that can accommodate no matter the kind of flow of any woman? And so on. She created that thing, became a multi-billionaire in a few years. Somebody say ideas rule the world. How did the banking industry begin? The one that we are all talking about today. Back in the day, it was exchange, okay? People used money then was in gold and silver. You know what I'm talking about. And guess what? So people carry gold around. Armed robbers will rob them. Thieves will steal from them. And suddenly somebody sat down and said, no, we can provide a solution for this. And the guy rented the property, hired security men, and began to announce and say, you know what? If you have gold, instead of keeping it in your ass, armed robbers will come and attack you. Bring it, I'll keep it for you. Is anybody hearing me? That's how they started. People who finish their business for the day, no better. They carry their gold. They put in his house. They put in his house. They put in his house. And they will pay him to keep the gold for them. Then the guy suddenly realized that all the people that deposit gold don't come and carry it at the same time. Some people even leave their home for 1 year, they don't come back. The guy said, what are we talking about? Let me now start renting out the gold to people. People that need money for business, let me be giving it to them. Then gradually he started giving out gold and getting profit from it. He made so much profit, he now told all the people bringing gold. He said, don't pay me again. Just be bringing the gold for me. Gentlemen, that's how banking began. Simple idea. God will give you a simple idea that will change your life in the name of Jesus. This morning you're not saying a good amen. I said he will give you a simple idea that will change your life forever in the name of Jesus. As simple as that. All the Abat Wigwe and the rest of them you hear about today, All of them were born from that simple idea of one man that says, save the gold for them, protect the gold for them, and eventually take that gold that nobody needs at this point, give it as a loan to somebody and collect interest from it. The rest is history. HSBC, Bank of America, and the rest of them, Manhattan Bank and all that. Gentlemen, I prophesy over you once again, ideas that will change the world come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. What's the origin of Uber? A gentleman that was doing business in Manhattan, New York, discovered that a lot of the times taxi was scarce to get. You call taxi and say, oh, I'm busy. You call the other one, I'm busy. It became so difficult. And those days, for you to get a taxi, you have to walk to the road and flag down a taxi. It was so difficult. And the guy said, no. Why don't we turn every car owner to become a taxi driver? You close work at 5 o'clock. Between 5 and 8 o'clock, use your car. Make some money. In fact, you can make the money on your way home. Guess what? He came up with the software, registered it, and began to say to everybody, you can make extra bucks on top of your job. The rest is history today. In America, to the best of my knowledge, there's no class of people that don't do Uber. Come on, is anybody hearing me? Some people just do it on their way home. I think more women have carried me in Uber than men in America. I kid you not. More women have carried me than men. They just do it. Some of them are even on their nursing uniform. They are closing from the hospital. But they just do some two-hour Uber. That two-hour Uber can give them extra $500, $300. That takes care of light bill or water bill or house rent or whatever. Is anybody understanding me? It's a simple idea. Once again, put your two hands on your head. I speak to your head. I speak to your spirit. May God impregnate you with a business idea, one that will change your life forever and ever and ever in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let me hear better amen, somebody. Amen. What was the origin of sewing machine? One man had a bad dream. Somebody say bad dream. In that dream, somebody was using knife, stabbing him like that. And he was so scared, he woke up screaming. But guess what? That action of stabbing and removing. The guy said, if we stab cloth like this and be removing it like that, and we are stabbing the cloth like that with needle and with thread, that can be a machine that can be putting stuff together. That's the origin of sewing machine. Stabbing, remove, stab, remove, stab, remove. I don't care whether it's a nightmare experience you have. Let money come out of it in the name of Jesus. I said, let money come out of it in the name of Jesus. Say loud amen, somebody. I'm sure most of you here have watched the program called Shark Tank. Anybody want? No, Shark Tank, that's empowerment program. Anybody knows it's on DSTV? You don't know it. That's not a good one, though. Now, that's pretty much like the Lion's Den program, okay? The Lion's Den program, where people just sit down before this about 7 or so investors, multi-billionaires, and you share your ideas. Over 7 million people in America watch that program. And he said that just by coming, even if you didn't give you money, your idea did not sell, just by standing and making a presentation before those group of people, your business grows by 15%. Your customer base just rose just because you stood there, because at least 7 million people are watching your presentation. Is anybody hearing me? One of the greatest success stories of that Shark Tank, whatever, was a gentleman who came and just generally talked about sponge. Everybody say sponge. I can hear you say sponge. For the last time, say sponge. Sponge is that thing you use in washing plates in the kitchen. You know what I'm talking about? Now, who can ever think money can come out of sponge? But guess what? The guy, before this time, had invested about $200,000 on sponge business. But nothing much came out of it. As a matter of fact, he had made less than $10,000 in profit for many years. And then he came up before these people and talked about what he called. At that time, he called the name Scrub Daddy. Everybody say Scrub Daddy. I can't even say Scrub Daddy. Beautiful name. Packaged the sponge together and made a presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, the rest is history. By the time the guy was done, one of the investors said, you know what, I'm interested in this thing and put money in it. Gentlemen, that guy in a space of less than 2 years made a profit of $75 million from sponge, that one in your kitchen. I hope you know there's something inside your kitchen that can be the secret to the business idea that can change your life forever. I prophesy over you, you will get that idea in the name of Jesus. I said you will get it in the name of Jesus Christ. For time's sake, let me quickly go straight into my point. Ladies and gentlemen, the third point or fact I want to make on more money is that kingdom wealth is a matter of trust and is allocated only to men that can build trust with God. Kingdom world is a matter of trust. Everybody say trust. Say trust. Say trust. For the last time, say trust. And God only allocates it to people he can trust. Gentlemen, please understand this. When it comes to kingdom wealth, God doesn't give it to everybody. That's why not every Christian is rich. That's why not every Christian is flowing in money. Because God only gives it. And if you understand God's dealings with men, even when he called Abraham, there is a point God never crossed with Abraham until the sacrifice of Isaac. And then he sat him down and said, now I know. Why did God say, now I know? Is the Almighty God is omniscient. He knows all things. But no, he must take you through the test. Get to the point where he can trust you. He says, now I know. If you can sacrifice this one, there's nothing you can hold back from me. He says, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. Through you, every family in the world will be blessed. God will always bring you to that point of trust. Ladies and gentlemen, how does God trust people? How does he trust people? Three quick things. Number one, God wants to be sure you are diligent in your business. Diligent in your business. Diligent in your business. You're not the kind of person that you're supposed to be at work 8 o'clock in the morning. By 10 o'clock, you're still chewing stick and watching Arise television at home. No. You're the kind of person that by 7:30, you're already in the office. You take your work serious. You don't joke because it's a private business. You give it your all as though you are serving God. Is anybody hearing me? God wants to see diligence in business. Number two, God wants to be sure that you are faithful in kingdom obligation. These are the people he trusts. People who are faithful, faithful, faithful. God knows that when it comes to your 10%, and by the way, I don't have time in this service, second service, I'll talk more about that. Your 10% is the least evidence that you are committed to God is your 10%. So guess what? He wants to see commitment in kingdom obligation. That's my tithe. That's my offering. That's my partnership. That's what I give. As far as kingdom business is concerned, and I have gone through it January to December, I have never failed God once. God checks the record and says, 12 months, this guy has been consistent. We can trust him. I pray that God will trust you in the mighty name of Jesus. The third reason that God will trust you is that you manage your business or manage your income with prudence. 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 Everybody say prudence. Shout it, say prudence. You don't waste money. You don't spend impulsively. You don't just carry money and throw money around. You have a budget. You have a plan. And you live your life intentionally such that before money leaves your hand, it's always intentional. It's not somebody who throws money away without any goal or any plan. God can never trust you when there's no prudence in your spending. May God give you the grace to be prudent in the mighty name of Jesus. Gentlemen, very quickly, my time is running so fast, but I need to just quickly deal with this. Because we're starting a 21 days of prayer and fasting, beginning from tomorrow. And this month has been declared a month of empowerment. We are training. We are equipping with skill. We are distributing food. But guess what? We also realize that the equation will not be complete until we raise a prayer platform as far as the business of money and your prosperity is concerned. Sir, I said last Sunday, when it comes to true wealth that takes you from sustenance to significance, true wealth is giving. It's not just a dint of hard work. There's a point in wealth transfer that you must be able to negotiate your way in the realm of the spirit in the place of prayer. So in this 21 days of fasting, we're going to be doing a lot of that. But in the meantime, let me say this to you. And this is just an appetizer for what is about to take place in the next 21 days as we go into the place of prayer, because we're declaring this season a month of empowerment and we're backing it up with prayer. Now, this is the next point I want to make. The mystery of prayer for financial turnaround. Please understand this. One prayer encounter can secure your destiny and change your life forever. One prayer encounter. And my example quickly will be the gentleman called Jabez. Everybody say Jabez. I can't hear you say Jabez. The Bible says the name Jabez means sorrow. He was born in sorrow. Life was terrible. But the Bible said to us, if you have time to read, I don't have time to read the scripture this morning, that Jabez went before the Lord and said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. Take away evil from me. Lay your hands upon me, because when your hands is upon me, it will give me speed. Because when the hand of God came upon Elijah, it gave him speed. I'm tired of struggling and this slow life. Lay your hands upon me and keep me from evil. And the Bible said God granted him the petition. It was a heart-to-heart prayer. And once you back up all I've said to you, gentlemen, with a prayer, when you invoke the mystery of prayer, I'm saying that if you take advantage of this season we have come into to pray, one serious prayer encounter can change your destiny forever. And I declare, your life will not be the same after this season, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Say a loud amen, somebody. Now, gentlemen, effective prayer is not just a complaint. It's a petition. It's a negotiation. It's your ability to come before God, not to saying, God, can't you see the way I'm suffering? But your ability to convince God like a lawyer in the place of negotiation. And I'm going to speak more about that in the days to come as we start our prayer. But two scriptures will help us understand it. Isaiah 41 verse 21. Please give me in the scriptures, in the screen. Isaiah 41 21. This is so important because of the season we have entered into. Produce your cause, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Okay? Isaiah 43:26. It says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. God is saying, put me in remembrance. Father, I can't be poor. I refuse to be in want. The Bible says that if I am committed to you, the Bible says if I'm a tithe payer, you open windows to bless me. I can't be a tithe payer. I can't be committed to you. He says, remind me, give me strong reasons. Don't just cry. Don't just come and complain. But convince God. Show God. Why? Once the Bible says, once I was young, now I'm old, I've never seen the righteous. Lord, I'm the righteous. I walk with you. I'm committed to kingdom. I can't beg. I cannot borrow. I cannot live this kind of life. Real effective prayer is taking the word of God back to God in the place of prayer and being able to negotiate your way through and make progress with God. And listen, the grace to pray this season will come upon your life in the mighty name of Jesus. I cannot hear your amen, somebody. All right. So this morning, gentlemen, for my time's sake, I have 3 minutes to go. I want to just speak to you about what I've called the mystery of entitlement. The mystery. Everybody say mystery of entitlement. Say the mystery of entitlement. As far as more money is concerned, the mystery of covenant entitlement. Gentlemen, please look up here. Some things come by reason of your work. Some other things come to you as a result of entitlement. Everybody say entitlement. I can't hear you say entitlement. Now, if you're an Igbo man and you are a firstborn, God forbid, if your father dies today, the subject matter of your father's land is not a negotiation between you and your sisters. It's an entitlement, true or false? In fact, your sisters are the ones that will be showing you the remaining land around and say, ah, there's one in Aba that you didn't know about. Oh, please go and look at that one. Secure the one in Oka, and so on. Now, what qualifies you to become firstborn? There's no qualification. You were just born firstborn, am I correct? It's just that what work did you work to become firstborn? Nothing. You were just born firstborn. And because you were born firstborn, guess what? You are entitled to your father's land. That's in Igbo land, though. That's not where I came from. Where I came from, they share them equally. God punish that devil. That says only firstborn will for first what? In fact, the women in where I came from are more powerful than the men. Is anybody hearing me? It's the women that do the sharing, not even the men self. Are you still there, somebody? Please answer me. Are you still there, somebody? What am I trying to talk about, ladies and gentlemen? The kingdom we belong to is full of entitlement. Somebody say entitlement. David was so entitled, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. What's my entitlement? I shall not want. It's my right. I can't want. He is my shepherd. That's what, you see, it's what I be. See, that's why the scripture says, I've wished above every other thing. Three things. I want you to prosper. It's your right. It's your entitlement. You belong to it. You don't beg for it. How many of you have children? Can I see your hand? When your children are hungry, did they beg you for food? They are telling you the food they want to eat. They're not asking you, is there money in the house or not? And you bring the wrong food. Daddy, I don't like okra soup. Oh, Jesus Christ. The Bible says to become useful in this kingdom, we should start thinking like little children. A point comes where you are not negotiating some things with God. You are saying, God, this is what I belong to. This is my portion. It's my right. I had the story of two boys that were beating their father, beating the man. The whole village gathered together and said, "Ah, why you have respect for your senior, for your father? Why are you doing this?" And the boy said, "Listen, warn this man. We didn't tell him to give birth to us. As long as he gave birth to us, he must pay the school fees. And we're going to beat him until he pays. I'm not saying go and beat your father now, gentlemen. But I'm saying, now, their point is, Naim bonus. Come, Naim bonus. As far as Naim bonus, he must pay the school fee. How many of you are born by God here? Oh, Shabalaya. How many of you are really born by God here? You are born of God. Listen, he will pay your bills. I said he will pay your fees. You are entitled to your school fee. You are entitled to your house rent. You are entitled to God sponsoring your vision. And can I declare over you, your bills will be paid in the name of Jesus. Let me hear a loud amen. Somebody. It's a simple equation. The Bible says if a man cannot take care of his household, he is worse than what? So what do you say by a God who cannot take care of his children? No, answer me. Now, listen to this. The cattle on a thousand is belong to him. The bed on the mountain is his. His economy does not lack. That's why he says, I supply your needs according to my, not according to the state of the economy of Nigeria. So he doesn't lack anything. So guess what? The day God can't take care of you, if for a man who cannot take care of his family, is an infidel. Maybe it's an infigod. But there's no infigod anywhere. Because this God, God is not scratching his head out to provide for you. He's more than able. Can I prophesy over you? God will pay your bills. God will look after you. You will never lack any good thing. Shout a loud amen, somebody. Your God is more than sufficient to look after you in the mighty name of Jesus. David was speaking. He said, "Oh, test," Psalm 34 verse 8. "And see that the Lord is good." Psalm 34 verse 8. 34, 8. 34, 8. "All test and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There's no wants to them that fear the Lord. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord, those who seek the Lord, they will never want any good thing." I prophesy over your life. See, this is for those who can trust God, those who can believe God. I prophesy over you, moving forward from this day, every good thing you need, God will provide for you. Every good thing you need, he will provide for you. That school fee will be paid. That matter will be settled. That rent will be paid. Everything you need to advance your destiny, God will provide for you in the name of Jesus. Shout a loud amen, somebody. So, very quickly, Pastor, as you speak on the mystery of entitlement, Pastor, what exactly are you talking about? Number one, by covenant, you are an heir of God and you are a joint heir with Christ. I want you to please let that register. You are an heir of God. You are an heir of God. I just spoke to you about firstborns in Igbo land. They don't work for firstborn. They were born firstborn. The Prince of Wales do not, they don't beg for the things they're entitled to. They were born into reality and they walk in their entitlement. Please understand, this is so important. So important. That's why I love this scripture. This scripture in Matthew, I think. Okay. Now, give me Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. This is so important. Bit long screen, but it's so important. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. Please, I want you to help me slowly read the scripture with me. It will do something to your spirit. Now, notice this scripture begins by saying, "No man can serve two masters." This again underlines our earlier postulation that the contention for the place of God in your life is not between God and Satan. Who remembers that? I said the throne of your life, the contention for who is going to sit there is not between God and Satan. It's between God and money. Let's read the scripture. "No man can serve two masters." Now you expect that those two masters will be God and the devil. Am I correct? "For either he will hate one or love the other. Or else he will owe to one and despise the other." Now read the last point with me. Go. Everybody, two, go. So when he spoke about two masters, the two greatest masters in your life, they are not God and Satan. They are God and money. Mammon. That's why whenever anything is being talked about in church, if you notice, everything seems fine until you mention money. Something is agitated in your heart. It's either a righteous agitation or a holy anger. Why are they talking about money? Why are they spoiling the service with money? There's a contention for the throne of your heart. It's not about the money in your hand, it's about your heart. Is anybody hearing me? Let's continue that scripture quickly. It says, next verse. Therefore, I say to you, since there is this argument between God and Mammon, please calm down, you are a child of God. You are an heir of God. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you will eat, drink, or your body, the clothes you will put on. It's not life more than meat and the body more than raiment. Next verse. Please help me. Behold, the fowls of the air. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The fowls of the air. He says, look at them. I just want to give you an idea of how much I can look after you. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather bands. They don't have a bank account. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, question. Are you not better than them? Next verse. Which of you, by taking thought, by your sleepless nights you've had for the last 3 months, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to another? Next verse. He says, why take ye thought for raiment? Why are you having sleepless nights over whether you're going to eat food or pay your children's school fee or not? Consider the lilies of the field. This is where it gets interesting. At least the birds do cross-pollination. The birds do cross-pollination. No, it's butterflies that do pollination, right? All right. At least birds fly from one place to the other. Now he says, like, just in case you're thinking birds are hardworking, let's bring it down. Consider the lilies of the field. He says, how they grow. They don't walk. They don't spin. Next verse. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not as beautiful as them. Next verse. Wherefore, if God can take care of the field, of grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is not, can he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Next verse. Wherefore, therefore, take note of sin. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How are we going to survive this economy? Next verse. For after all these things, only people that don't have a covenant with God, Gentiles, they are the ones that worry after these things. He says, your Father, your heavenly Father knows you have need. You see, the way a parent does not wait for the children to beg before they go to market and cook food, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. In other words, he makes provision for you even before you start asking. He's prepared them for you. Is anybody hearing me? Next verse, and that's where we close. But seek ye first. Put God first. Don't kill yourself. You're an heir of God. Focus on God. Put your attention on him. Do what you need to do so he can trust you. Be diligent. Keep your kingdom obligation. Be prudent in your spending. Do your part. Be a value producer. Be a solution provider. But after you have done all this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, all these things shall be provided for you. Gentlemen, I came this morning to say to you that God is not thinking, is not scratching his head how he's going to see you through this season. God already has planned for you how you will survive this season. Therefore, I close on this note. Number 2 is the duty of the bridegroom to beautify the bride. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's not the bride's duty to think of how to pay a bride price, how to fix the event for the wedding. The job of the bridegroom, it is to beautify the bride. And finally, as an ambassador of the kingdom, please note, you operate heaven's economy. You don't operate the economy of Nigeria. I don't care how things get bad in Nigeria. The American ambassador will never scratch his head. His salary is not paid from Nigeria. It's paid from America. True or false? Please answer me, true or false. The British consulate officer is not thinking about how to survive Nigeria. He has no business with the economy of Nigeria. Guys, let's start thinking kingdom. Let's start thinking kingdom. We are much more than this. We are greater than what is going on in Nigeria. The God that we serve is able to take care of us. Say a loud amen, somebody. And by the way, let me remind you that your job is only a channel, not your source. Your source remains him who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Can I hear a loud amen? Therefore, Pastor, in this season, how do we engage prayer? How do we enter into this entitlement, this covenant entitlement we belong to? How do we do it? Number 1, ask like Anna. Somebody say, ask like Anna. I can't hear you say, ask like Anna. How did Anna ask? Everybody look up here. Eli, the great prophet of the time, had backslided. His sons have become debauched. They were sleeping with women in the temple. So both the high priest and the successors to the high priest have disappointed God. God was looking for a prophet to succeed Eli. Eli was going to die. Anna had been coming to Shiloh. She's been coming to pray, but there was no negotiation. And then one of those days she went to Shiloh, she realized that there's a vacancy. The prophet is about to die. His sons will not succeed him because their reputation is on internet. They know that God will never use them. What do we do? And then the Bible says she began to moan. She began to groan in prayer. And the young man called her and asked her, and said, what's the matter? She said, I want to strike a deal with God. He said, I hear God is looking for a prophet to succeed you. Eli said, yes. He said, you know what? I'm looking for a son. Let God give me a son. I will give him a prophet. Let's exchange. Gentlemen, done deal. Heaven said, done deal. She took in that month and she produced a son. She kept her word and returned the son back to him. And guess what? By the time Anna was dead, she had 3 sons and 2 daughters. Since she kept her obligation. So this is the time to negotiate with God. Listen, Father, if you will bless me in this season. Pastor is talking about opening branch. I came from Transekulu. We don't have a branch there. Lord, I will pay 1 year rent for the church auditorium. I will buy the equipment for the church. Can you enter a deal with God this period? And say, Lord, can you just, okay, Lord, you know what? I will make sure that the pastor they are sending there, I'll put him on salary. Whatever is that deal, pray like Anna. Can you enter a transaction with God this season? And say, Lord, if only you will bless me. I want to promise you, I'm not giving you 10%. I will give you 15% of this money for 1 year as my tithe. Pray like Anna. And finally, Pastor, how do I enter this covenant of entitlement? Pray like Caleb. Everybody say like Caleb. I can't hear you say pray like Caleb. For the last time, say pray like Caleb. What was Caleb's prayer? He said, Lord, listen, I'm ready to take on more mountains. Lord, give me more money. I will do more exploits for you. I will conquer more territories from you. I'm not going to use wealth to boast and shine and impress people and tell people I've been blessed. I'm going to use wealth. I will show people how to handle God's money and handle kingdom wealth. I will use it to take more mountains for you. Caleb said, I am 80 years old right now. I started this journey 40 years ago. But guess what? I still have anointing to go out and come into battle. As I was back then, that's how I am. But to go out and to fight, give me this mountain. Listen to this. When you begin to engage God like this, in the spirit of entitlement, God knows that he can trust you absolutely to do business with you. And I want to prophesy over somebody. That which is your entitlement, may heaven release to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise on your feet. I prophesy over you that when men are saying there's a casting down in this season, you will be testifying of a lifting up in the name of Jesus. Stretch your 2 hands like you want to collect something. In this season, I pray over your life. You will buy more houses, build more houses, start more businesses, give out more charity. You will give food to the poor. You will clothe the widow. You will take care of the orphan. I prophesy over you that this season, more money will enter your hand than ever before in the mighty name of Jesus. You will never lack any substance. You will never lack any good thing. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I bless you with the blessings of the Lord. And I say, go and do exploit this season. And let the grace for covenant entitlement now rest upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Shout a believing amen, somebody.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.